chapter 4 of Galatians, we'll read from verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. Because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 7, and God will add his blessing to this reading from his word. Now I want to draw your attention to verse 6 of Galatians chapter 4. Verse 6 of Galatians 4. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I want to speak to you on the subject, the upgrading, the indwelling, and the overwhelming of believers. The upgrading, the indwelling, and the overwhelming of believers. Now my text and my subject both revolve around the great biblical truth of adoption. And when I speak of adoption, I do not mean the adoption of a child or children into a family in the natural sense. Rather, I am referring to God's adopting of his people into his family. More to the point, I am speaking of one of the great benefits of salvation in this life. That adoption which the Shorter Catechism describes as an act of God's free grace. An act, not a work. We are immediately, by an act of God, brought into his family in that moment that we are born again. An act of God's free grace whereby we are received into the number and have a right to all the privileges of the sons of God. So when we think of adoption, let us be clear, it is the taking of a person into the family of God and treating that person as a member of it. It is an act of pure favour on God's part and confers blessings to which we had lost all claim. It confers upon us both the rank and the rights of children and makes us feel that we have both a place and portion as sons in God's family. Now our text speaks to this great doctrine. And we read, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. It is our sonship that this text is looking at, because ye are sons. It is our adoption that the text deals with. And as we enter into it, we shall note here the upgrading, the indwelling, and the overwhelming of believers. So first of all, the upgrading of believers. The upgrading of believers. You will notice the simple statement which is made of believers. Verse 6, ye are sons. Ye are sons. There is the truth of adoption in that simple statement. And more than that, there is our position. Our position by virtue of adoption. There is our true status as a consequence of adoption. We are sons. We are sons of God. We who have been born again possess the nature of the children of God, but by adoption we are given the rights of the children of God. we are accorded the privileged position as a son and an heir in the household of the King. Now that represents for every believer a very significant upgrading. The privileged position of a son and heir in the household of the King. We were not always that. We were not born that by natural birth. We were once slaves to sin, but now are we the sons of God. From slavery to sonship, there is the upgrading of believers. Now this sonship, of course, is a gift of God's grace received by faith. The sonship here described is not a natural sonship. We have a sonship which does not come to us by nature, for we are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Our sonship comes by promise, by the operation of God, as a special gift to a peculiar seed, set apart unto the Lord, as by his own sovereign grace. And this honour and this privilege comes to us by faith. That's what Galatians 3:26 tells us. And of course it's all of one piece. Everything is being built on what precedes. Well, Galatians 3:26 tells us, "For ye are all the children of God by faith." There is adoption, the children of God. There's our status, there's the grace of God, and there is this gift of grace by faith in Christ Jesus. It is faith that brings us in to God's family. As unbelievers, we knew nothing of adoption. While we were under the law, we knew only slavery, but not sonship. It is only after that faith has come that we cease to be under the law and are brought into the privilege of the sons of God. Let me put it to you this way. An unsaved man, in relation to God and to his law, stands in the condition of a criminal, not a child. His sin is laid to his charge. He is reckoned as unjust and unrighteous, as indeed he really is, and he is therefore a rebel against a king. He's not a child enjoying his father's love. But when faith comes, when faith realizes the cleansing power of the blood of the atonement, when faith lays hold upon the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, then that man, now a saved man, is no longer a criminal. He becomes a son and a child. Believing on Christ brings adoption. That which is a gift of God's grace is received by faith. As John wrote, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power." There's the operation of God, an act of pure favour. "To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." We are brought into the family by believing on Christ. Now this sonship, which is received by faith, this sonship is a gift of God's grace, which is also evidenced by faith. It is also evidenced by faith. Faith is not only the instrument whereby we receive Christ and with him this adoption. Faith is also the great characteristic of the adopted sons. It is the great characteristic. It is the identifying mark of the sons of God. Galatians 3:26, you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. If you are believing in the Lord Jesus, if you are exercising faith in him, you are a son of God. you are a son of God. It doesn't matter who you are in other areas of life, rich or poor, Jew or Gentile, slave or free. If you are believing in Jesus Christ, you are a son of God. It doesn't matter when you have begun to believe, a few weeks, months, many years. If you are believing in the Lord presently, you are a child of God. Believers are children of God. Faith itself is the great identifying mark. If a man or woman, boy or girl, is a believer in Jesus Christ, then that name is written in the family register in heaven. Ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. On the other hand, of course, if you have no faith, you're not a child of God. You may be zealous in religion, diligent in works, knowledgeable in religious matters, having pretensions to holiness, but in the absence of faith in Jesus Christ, you are not a child of God. The scripture is clear. In the absence of faith, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your risen Saviour. So I say to you, faith is the unmistakable evidence of sonship. And if I could go further, not only is it the instrument whereby we are upgraded to sonship and the token of our sonship, but it is also the means whereby we may enjoy the privileges of our sonship. It is the means whereby we enjoy the privileges of our sonship. As a consequence of believing on Christ, we are full-grown sons in the household of God. We are sons and heirs. We are free to enjoy the honour, the honours and blessings of the Father's house. And what is the essence of that blessing? What is the essence of that blessing? Well, it is God Himself. Verse 7 of Galatians 4 is clear. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And as a consequence of adoption, of sonship, because you are a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now what is the essence of the blessing? What is the inheritance? What is the inheritance? Well, it's stated there, an heir of God. We are heirs of God. Now we are inclined to think of the inheritance as heaven, the reward of salvation as heavenly glory. But it should be pointed out, heaven is part, but it is not primary. It is not the essence. God is the essence. God is what is promised to us. We are heirs of God. Our status has been so upgraded that God Himself is our portion. And that's repeated continually in Scripture. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. This God is our God forever and ever. We are heirs of God Himself. David said, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. The Lord said to Abraham, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thine exceeding great reward. God Himself is the great reward. And so He says to all who are His sons, I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So this is the position of a Christian. This is the position. This is the elevated status of a believer. And it will be well for us if we take pains to remember it. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are sons of God. We have a position. We have an honourable position. We have an upgraded and exalted position. We are sons and heirs in the household of the King. And we need to remember that. And we need to see to it that we live in a fashion that befits those of that position. We live as sons of God and not as slaves to sin. God himself is our portion. We need always to remember that and remember our position. It's one of those things that if you observe royal households and so on, and you see the various members of the royal household, they do their various things. They go out and they open this and they visit this and that and the other thing. And perhaps they share a little joke here and there, and it's all very jolly and so on. But the truth of the matter is, the royal family, in the public eye, not for one moment do they ever forget their position. Not for one moment are they ever anything conscious and other than what they are in terms of their position. And there's a lesson there for believers. We are never to forget. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the company, we are never to forget that we are the children of God. And that is a status, that is a privilege, that is an honour. And we have the greatest portion that anyone could ever have. And that portion is God himself. This God is our God. God has said, I will be to you a God, and you shall be to me a people. And we are never to forget that. And thus, if we are sorrowful, we ought not to continue sorrowful, for the ever-blessed God is our inheritance. If we are fearful, we ought not to continue fearful, for as the sons of God, we have the privilege of the omnipotent God as our shield and our defender. And if we are lonely, we ought not to continue lonely, for we have access by faith to communion with the triune God. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him. And we enjoy him by faith. We have access by faith to communion with our God. So I say to you, as the apostle says, that we are sons. And I say we ought not to forget it, and we ought to enjoy by faith all the privileges of sonship. Well, in this text there is the upgrading of believers, but in connection with our sonship, there is also here the indwelling of believers. Notice carefully in verse 6 that the indwelling which is spoken of is a consequence of sonship. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart. Now the statement is teaching that God the Father sends the Holy Spirit into the heart of every child of God. And he sends him there to abide in us and to dwell with us. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence, has indwelt every child of God. Now such is the import of this statement, and it is backed up by other scriptures. So for example, Romans 8:9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. So all who are sons, all who enjoy the blessing of adoption, are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now, the title that is given to the Holy Spirit here is the Spirit of his Son. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son. Now here there may be some scope for discussion and debate as to why the title is as it is. but it seems to me that the most likely explanation is that the Holy Spirit is entitled the Spirit of His Son because it is the Spirit who communicates the things of Christ to us. The work of applying Christ's redemptive work falls to the Spirit. He makes over to us the benefits of redemption. And among those benefits, of course, is the benefit of adoption. The redemption Christ wrought out for us, the Spirit applies to us. The Spirit of His Son. Now you will see here that the Spirit takes up residence in our hearts. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. Into your hearts. Now it's important to note that the Spirit comes chiefly to the affections. Remember, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Also, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The heart is the center of our being. It is who we really are. And therefore, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. Thus, as the heart is the center of our being, when the Holy Ghost enters, when the living God resides within, He is taking possession of the very core and marrow of our being. Now, when the Spirit of God takes possession of the affections, when He is sent into our hearts, He operates upon and influences our entire being and life. Out of the heart are the issues of life. And the Spirit of God within us is renewing, illuminating, sanctifying, influencing, perfecting all of our faculties and all of our powers. Now as this work proceeds, it brings with it the most wonderful blessings for the child of God. It brings, of course, peace and joy. It brings peace and joy. Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It leads to nearness to God and fellowship with Him. It moulds us in the image of God, renewing and remaking our lives in the image of His Son. It increases confidence in God. The recognition that the Holy Ghost has come to dwell in us. The experience of His indwelling gives us that confidence that God who has done this may do much more besides. Moreover, I put it to you that it increases sensitivity to God. It increases sensitivity to God. This recognition, this realization, the Holy Spirit, we are believers, we are sons. The Holy Spirit is at the very center of our being, influencing, directing, molding, sanctifying, illuminating. A recognition of that increases sensitivity to God. When we decide upon a particular course of action, and a doubt just flashes across our mind, just a doubt flashing across the mind as to the properness or the rightness of the course. But those who live without God are inclined just to dismiss the doubt, not to give it any attention whatsoever. Those who recognize the Holy Spirit as a real person, who dwells within, and who does lead and does guide His people, are much more inclined not just to dismiss the little doubts, to examine the thing again, to be suspicious of one's own self, realizing at times that, well, realizing always that we are but sinners and we do go wrong, and that little doubt might just be the prompting of the Spirit. And that's a negative way, but of course it can be positive also. The Spirit can prompt us in terms of things that we ought to do and so on. So it increases sensitivity to God. If there's no real acknowledgement that the Spirit of God is in your heart, He is indwelling, and He's not just there passively, He's there working
working to renew, illuminate, influence, and so on, sanctify. If there's no real recognition of that, well, then there tends to be this lack of sensitivity to God Himself. And, you know,
I'm well aware mistakes can be made along these lines. There's nothing more common than overzealous believers thinking the Spirit's leading them to do something and the Spirit didn't lead them to do something at all as time runs on. But I'm aware mistakes can be made along these lines. But those whose minds are closed to the promptings of the Spirit, those who don't acknowledge it at all, I very much doubt that the Lord would be pleased to use you in a significant way. It seems to me that God loves to lead and direct and take us along the path and so on. And we need to be open to the promptings of the Spirit. And it should be said, of course, one infallible rule in terms of this is to judge any prompting by the standard of God's Word. If it's contrary to Scripture, it is not the Spirit that's prompting you. Simple as that. Now, thirdly, the overwhelming of believers. The overwhelming of believers. The Holy Spirit comes to the affections. He indwells us. God hath sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. And He comes, and He moves, and He overwhelms the heart to the extent that there is a cry. Now in our text, it is, as we read it, the Spirit that is crying, Abba Father. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba Father. He is crying in our hearts. He is proclaiming the truth of our sonship. Now, it will be well for us if we consider this verse in connection with Romans 8, verses 15 and 16. And keep your finger on both the two passages. Keep your finger in Galatians 4 and then in Romans 8. Galatians 4 reads, the Spirit of His Son in your hearts crying, Abba Father. Now Romans 8, 15 and 16. Romans 8, 15 and 16. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. Now, Galatians 4, 6, the Spirit is crying, Abba Father. Romans 8, 15, the sons of God, those that are led by the Spirit of God, in verse 14, the sons of God are crying, Abba Father. Verse 16 reads of Romans 8, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now when you take the teaching of Romans 8 and Galatians 4 together, you see clearly what is going on. When we cry, Abba Father, Father, dear Father, it is the Spirit Himself that is bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When we cry, Abba Father, the Spirit is bearing witness with our witness that we are the Spirit of God. Now if you look back at Galatians 4, I'll tie this up. Galatians 4, there are two sendings forth. There is a sending forth of God's Son in verse 4. God sent forth His Son. That sending forth of the Son is to secure our sonship, that we might receive the adoption of sons. In verse 6, with sonship secured, God sends His Spirit to assure us of it, to give us the experience of it, to prompt us to pray, Abba Father. Thus, in a very real way, when we pray in this fashion, when we express our sonship to our Father, particularly in prayer, what a person hears audibly from the lips of a believer is what the believer's heart is hearing from the witness of the Spirit. We cry, Abba Father, with our lips, because the Spirit is crying, Abba Father, in our hearts. It is the Spirit that is assuring us, giving us the experience, prompting us along these lines. And that's a wonderful, wonderful work. The believer ought, in the end, to be able to come to the place where he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know whom I have believed, and I am sure, and so on. The believer ought to. He may not come to it straight away, but the believer ought to, in this life, come to a place where he has full assurance that he is the Lord's, that the Spirit of God indwells him, and should the next moment be the moment when his breath stops, his heart ceases, and his soul departs the body, the believer ought to have absolute assurance that in that moment of time, it will be for him present with the Lord. That is the work of the Spirit here. The Spirit is crying in our hearts. And as the Spirit cries in our hearts that we are the children of God, ultimately we are assured of that. And of course, there is that work of the Spirit, and the Spirit does use means. The Spirit uses the Word of God. He uses private reading and study of it. He uses the preaching of it. And he uses it to assure his children that they are in the faith, that they are the children of God. And he brings them to that place where they enjoy their privileges, rather than worrying about whether they're actually in the faith or not. And this is the work of the Spirit. And thus it's no surprise that Christians who are into their Bibles, who are diligent in the means of grace, ordinarily have more assurance than those who don't open a Bible from one week to another. This is the way the Spirit of God works. And it's a wonderful work, and it brings great joy to the heart of the child of God. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts, for his name's sake. Amen.